Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medina.
If you will open your Bible in the book of Acts, chapter 8. We want to welcome everyone also who are connected with us on social media. Welcome. Thank you for being with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to start off in verse 1, church. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. I want us to see the whole picture of what's happening. You guys have it? Hallelujah. Worship the Lord, church. The word of God reads, "Now Saul was consenting to his death. At the time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Notice everything that's happening. And then it says in verse 2, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison." How many know that when the church is being persecuted, but you stand strong in the Lord, God also moves? God moves. That's why, remember the words of Jesus when he said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ." What that means is that in times of trouble or persecution, the church always moves forward. The church never stays idle. The church never goes backwards. The church always moves forward. Notice in the Bible, there's times in the church or even in your individual life where it seems that everything just comes together, where it seems like everything is just adding up. Notice that the Bible talks about a man named Saul. Saul was the one that he hated Christians, believers. Now, you got to remember, though, Saul is not a believer. He's not a believer in Christ yet. He's a Jewish man. He knows the law. He learned from the best. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers of the law. But the Bible says that he was consenting. He was persecuting the church. And the Bible says clearly how he just didn't like believers. That's one of the things that was happening at that time. But notice also that you will see how the more he persecuted, the more things were happening inside of the church, the more God began to move. Don't forget about that. The more things happening, the more, if you stand in faith, if you don't give up, if you don't stay idle, God will do his part. It's guaranteed. And the Bible says that a great persecution arose. That's what the Bible says. Notice that it says, it doesn't just say persecution, it says a great persecution. Now that word great is one of the favorite words of Luke. Remember Luke, he's the doctor. And Luke, even in his gospel, he uses it over 25 times in his gospel. And another 29 times in the book of Acts. So the Bible says that there was a great persecution that arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And notice it says that when that persecution came, the Bible says that they were all scattered except the apostles. The apostles, they stayed in Jerusalem, but the rest of the church, the Bible says that they were all scattered throughout the regions, the Bible says. Now, this is crazy because Saul, he wants to what? He's persecuting. That word persecuting means that he wants to break and he wants to destroy the church. But how many know, listen, you cannot destroy the church. You know why? Because it's not the pastor's church. It's not the leadership church. The church belongs strictly to the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a persecution. But then also the Bible says in verse 3 or verse 2, Stephen, they killed Stephen, they stoned Stephen. And one of the men that was part of that group that stoned Stephen was the man I just mentioned. His name is Saul. Saul participated in that moment when they stoned Stephen. He was there. Now, the Bible says that Stephen was a man full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. Have you noticed that every time people, when they attack, they always attack those that are full of the Spirit or they are dangerous for the kingdom of God? The enemy is not just going to go for any wimpy believer or any wimpy church. No, he's going to go after those that are dangerous for the kingdom of God. Those who are doing exploits for the kingdom of God. Those who are being used by God. Those are the ones that will always be attacked. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, verse 2, that devout men, that's why when I read, I always catch the word says devout men, not just any men, devout men carried Stephen to his burial. We're talking about a man of God who feared God. Not just anybody was going to carry him. The Bible says that they were devout men. And made great lamentation over him. Why? Because he was a man who loved Jesus. A man who stood his ground, a man who was not ashamed of the gospel, a man who preached the word of God. He didn't care what people thought. That's the reason why he got persecuted and they took his life. How important it is, church, is to stand up for what you believe and what I believe, the gospel, the good news, the word of God. We're living in times, church, where people are not living for the Lord no more. Where people don't want to speak up. They speak up about everything else, but they don't want to speak up that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. That there is no other Savior. There is no other salvation. There is no other method. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And guess what? And he's coming back soon. As a matter of fact, very soon. And the Bible says, as for Saul, see, notice how the Lord works. Stephen is gone with the Lord. Even the Bible says that when he was dying, he says, Lord, forgive him, you know, receive my spirit. And the Bible says that when he looked up to heaven, Stephen, he saw Jesus Christ standing. Now, I don't know if you caught that, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. He's seated at the right hand. But the reason it says that he was standing, that Stephen saw him, it's like receiving his son into the kingdom. Man, that says a lot. When somebody stands up for you, it's like when the president goes into a room, they stand. Stephen was a man of God. Church, God is looking, hear me, God is looking for men and women of God who fear God, who live for Jesus. As for Saul, so Stephen is gone, but God... Look at God's humor, the way he works. He says, okay, one of my children is gone. He says, but now one of theirs is going to get saved. And I'm going to use them for my glory and honor. You think God didn't know? Okay, Saul... and the rest of you attacked Stephen, but watch what I'm about to do. Now I'm going to save Saul. And I'm going to change his life around. I'm going to do something mighty and powerful where you're going to be in awe. Because how many know that's the way God works? Amen. And the Bible says that Saul, he made havoc, the Bible says. He had one goal. He says, entering every house. Saul would enter every house. He had the permits to do it. Amen? He went and got the permits. He got the green light. And he entered every house. And the Bible says, and he dragged the men and women, committing them to prison. Don't be surprised, church. Amen? That nowadays, the days that we're living is that, you know, because we stand up for what is true. Amen? Because of doing the will of God. Because we're not backing down. But for this, you got to be full of the Holy Spirit. Even if they take us to jail, even if they take us to prison, no, regardless, we are going to preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is still king. So, I mean, think about they're being persecuted. There's a funeral going on. They lost a man of God in the faith. Now they're being scattered. The Bible says everywhere. But guess what, church? It's one thing to be scattered. It's one thing that, you know, persecution comes and you're scattered everywhere else. But it's another thing when you're doing something about it. I don't know if you're understanding me, church, this morning. When it gets hard, when it gets hotter, when everything comes against you, that is the time to not to stay idle, not to go back. That is the time to preach on Jesus Christ. You might be saying, I'm not a preacher. It doesn't matter if you're not called. Maybe you're not called to preach. But I'll tell you one thing, you are called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Amen. You are called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Testify. Testify of the good things that the Lord has done in your life. Testify where God took you up from. Testify where God has you now. Testify about the blessing of the Lord upon your life. Church, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Young men, young ladies, do not be ashamed of Jesus. The Bible says that what did they do? They went everywhere preaching the word. Preaching the word. See, church, that's all. That's what we're doing this morning. We're preaching the word. I don't know about you. And see, we're going to preach the word. Doesn't matter if it's the summer, it's the winter. We're going to preach the word. It doesn't matter who's coming, not coming. We're going to preach the word. And not only are we going to preach the word inside the church, we're going to preach the word outside of the four walls. We're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ until the day he comes back for his church. Well, give me 6 months, Pastor. No, the time is now. The time is now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His mercies endure forever. And the Bible says, verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. And what did he do? He preached Christ to them. Come on, church. Testify. Don't get tired of telling people about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Don't, there's never, hear me, church. There's never going to be a perfect time. Or I'm waiting for my tia just to get better. No, tell her now that Jesus can save her. That Jesus can heal her. That Jesus can save your son. Tell the people now that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Paul told Timothy, he told the young pastor, Timothy says, preach the word. He says, church, let me tell you something. Keep on preaching the word. He told them, preach the word. He says, be ready in season and out of season. Every season, preach. No, I don't want them to tell me anything. I don't want to tell my friend. They're going to make fun of me. That's part of the persecution. I don't want to say anything. You talk about everything else. Why not talk about Jesus? You talk about women. You talk about men. You talk about a certain video you saw. Why not talk about Jesus? That Jesus can forgive your sins. Jesus can restore you. Jesus can do the miracles. Look what he told them. Paul told Timothy, look, Timothy, he says, convince. Obviously, it's not going to be the person doing the convincing. It's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit doing the convincing through the vessel. He told them, convince. He says, and then he says, rebuke. Oh, but nowadays, nobody wants to be rebuked. People get rebuked and people get offended. Church, don't never get offended when you get rebuked. When you get rebuked by the word of God. No, well, the pastor told me and I feel sad. Be grateful that someone is telling you to get your act together. That you don't have to live in sin no more. Be grateful that somebody is telling you, speaking into your life, telling you, hey, what you're doing, you're wrong. Repent. But you better live it. Come on, talk to me. You better live it. Because if you're not living and you're trying to rebuke, ain't gonna work. I'll tell you that right now. Not anybody can rebuke. Who are you to tell me? Oh, now all of a sudden everybody's quiet. Come on, church. He says rebuke and he says exhort. And then he says with all long suffering and teaching. That means that you're going to rebuke with long suffering. You're going to endure. It's going to be something constant. You thought Wednesday was heavy. It's going to get heavier. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Church, we need to preach Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. There is no other way. There's only one way. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me tell you something. It's not going to be a brother or a sister that's going to save you. It's not going to be the pastor. It's not going to be the leadership. The one that's going to save you, his name is Jesus Christ. So we need to preach Jesus. He's the only way. You might say, I thought there was four ways. No, there's only one way. Man can save you. Did you hear me, church? Man cannot save you. The one that can save you is the one that died for you on Calvary more than 2,000 years ago. And his name is Jesus Christ. We need to preach Jesus, that he still forgives sins. Amen. That blood he shed on Calvary, that blood hasn't lost its power. There is still power in the blood of Jesus. Did you hear me, church? There is still power in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus forgives you of your sins. There is power in the blood. And Jesus still saves. And he's still saving. Hallelujah. And I declare my children are saved. I declare every family in my member is saved by his grace. I declare every person will be saved because they will know about Jesus Christ. And not only does he save, he restores. Hallelujah. All those that at one time walked with Jesus, those that who have tasted of the Lord, of how good he is, but at the moment they don't want nothing with Jesus. At the moment they're not walking with Jesus. At the moment they're doing their own thing. They're smoking weed. They're doing crack. They're drinking alcohol. At the moment they don't want nothing with Jesus. But let me tell you something, church. God restores his children back. He restores. Did you hear me, church? He restores. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. He's a restorer. I mean, think about your life and my life. He restored you. Your life and my life was jacked up. We were lost. The Bible says we were lost in our sins. We lived in a dark life. We were full of bondage. Amen? But one day, Jesus came into our lives, our hearts, and he broke those chains. He broke those chains of bondage. He set us free. Amen. And the Bible says we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. And now we are set free. There's no more condemnation. There's no more guilt in our lives. We are set free in Jesus' name. And let me tell you something else. He's coming back soon, church. I believe, as the Bible says, he's coming back very soon. Get your act together, church. Quit playing church. He's coming back soon. But in the meantime, stay busy for Jesus. In the meantime, do the will of God. In the meantime, work on yourself to have a clean heart, a pure heart. In the meantime, let God use you for his glory and honor. In the meantime, shine for Jesus. But he's coming back soon. Oh, they've been saying that. That's not your business. The Bible says that he's coming back very soon. And no one knows the day and the hour except the Father. Quit trying to put dates. People that believe other people, oh, so-and-so said that he's coming back on August. Quit it. All those people gave all, everything they had, and now they're broke. Because someone said, you know what, you got to get rid of everything. You got to sell this. You got to do that. And they were what? They were, I mean, the enemy just took over. No. The Bible says that no one knows the day nor the hour. What we should do is live for him as if he would come today. Hallelujah. Verse 6, are you guys with me? And the multitudes with one accord heeded, or they listened to the things spoken by Philip. Let me tell you something, church. We sometimes think, but the moment you open your mouth, and you talk about the good news, about the word of God, the Holy Spirit takes over. Number two, people will listen. It might seem that they're not listening, but they are listening. Because they are listening to words of life. Words that impact. Words that touch the heart. It's not your own word. It's the word of God. And guess what happens? You open your mouth. They hear. And God begins to move. He will touch hearts. He will touch people. The word of God never comes back void. It will always do what it says it will do. The sick will be healed. Did you hear me, church? The sick will be healed. Not that they might. They will be healed. The demons, they're going to flee. Demons are going to run away. Oh, pastor, don't talk. No, yes, I'm going to talk about demons. Be careful who you hang out with. Because a demon might be disturbing you right now. Don't open the door, church. There's people that do witchcraft. There's people that do all kinds of evil stuff. And you don't even know about it. You better be careful. Because that spirit will jump. And it will disturb you. And not only that, you open it up to your own house. And then it hits your family. Be careful, church. But let me tell you something. When you're living for the Lord, you don't worry about that. You don't worry about that because you know that greater is he who's in me, who is out in the world. Jesus is greater. You know, there's stuff that we don't even know about. People do crazy stuff, church. And it's because they opened the door to it. And those demons have a feast. Don't forget, church. The enemy doesn't want you to prosper. The enemy doesn't want you to rise up. The enemy wants you to forget who you are in Jesus Christ. He wants you to forget that, you know, that you have a calling. And the Bible says in verse 6, when Philip was speaking, he was preaching. They were hearing and they saw. Not that somebody came and told them or they read about it. The Bible says, and they saw the miracles which he did. Look what it says, verse 7. That's why we preach Jesus. What does it say? Verse 7. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice. Did you get that? Unclean spirits crying with a loud. It doesn't say a little low voice. No, it says a loud voice came out of many who were possessed. See, that's what happens. When Jesus Christ is present, when his power is present, things begin to happen, church. That's why, mark my words, you're going to see more people getting saved. You're going to see more people being delivered. You're going to see more people being restored. Why? Because Jesus Christ is in the house. His word is being preached. And the devil can't handle that. He can't handle when the power of God is present. He can't handle the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. In That's what we're believing for, church. Let me say something, church. That's why I don't want it. I know the first thing people look is the time. Pastor, it's taking long. It's taking long. Don't worry about the time. Focus on the Lord, what he's about to do in your life, in your marriage, your family. I don't want it to be just a service where I come and hear a nice, cute sermon and I leave the same way I came. No, I want to come to have church where I can praise and worship God and give him all the glory and honor. Then I sit down and I listen, I hear the word of God, and I let the Holy Spirit speak to my life. And if there's an altar call, that I come forward by faith, if the Lord is speaking to me and I get my blessing, I get my deliverance. I don't want to leave the scene. And look what happens. And there was great joy in that city. I'm gonna put it real simple, church. Every time you go to a service, if you come here, if people are getting saved, people are getting restored, people are being baptized with the Holy Ghost, or people are being healed, you know what will always happen? There's always going to be joy. There's always going to be joy. And you know what's going to happen? The word is going to be spread. Because God's going to touch you so powerfully that you're going to go tell your husband, your sister, your neighbor, hey, you got to come to church now because God is moving. We don't want dead churches. There's never altar calls. They don't pray for the sick. They just want to give a 10-minute, 15-minute sermon. That's why we believe strongly in laying on hands. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, it says, and these signs will follow those. Look what it says. Those signs. What signs? Healings, salvation, miracles, signs, and wonders. Demon-possessed people being set free. It says, these signs will follow those who what? Believe. See, you got to believe, church. And it says, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. See, that's another thing. Oh, don't talk about tongues. Church, don't forget we are Pentecostals. Hallelujah. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, now don't go being dumb and go drink something you shouldn't. You're asking for it. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Oh, well, but what if they don't get healed? That's not your problem. Because you're not the one doing it. Jesus Christ is the one that's doing it. And there will be great joy, church. Even in yourself, or just look around. When God touches you, or God touches someone, what do you see in their face? You see joy. You see joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The enemy wants to steal your joy. The enemy wants you to have a pickle juice face. But God wants to give you joy. And the Bible says, even in the Bible, Proverbs 29:2, it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked, look what it says, but when a wicked man rules, the people groan. But guess what? In this church, no wicked man is going to rule. The one that's going to rule and live and reign forevermore, his name is Jesus. And the Bible says, I'm going to be done already. Give me 5 minutes. At that time, there was a man named Simon. Simon, he practiced sorcery, witchcraft. Let me tell you something. If it's in the Bible, there's a reason why that people do practice it and believe in that junk. What are you doing out there having people reading your hand, your palms? Oh, it's because God didn't give me a breakthrough. God, no, God's waiting on you. God will give you a breakthrough. God will touch you. God will move in your life the moment you invite him to do it. You'd be surprised how people, you know, they go to certain stuff like that because, oh, the church didn't help me. No, it's not even the church that's going to help you. The one that's going to help you is done. His name is Jesus Christ. No, it's because I didn't feel peace and, you know, I wasn't feeling so, you know, I had to go smoke a joint that kept me calm. I know a lot of people say, oh, there's nothing wrong, you know, God, yes, God created it. But people use it for evil. And let me tell you something. In time, it messes up your brain cells. Did you hear me? Weed. Marijuana. No, it's because it keeps my nerves. Lying devil. What you need is a double dose of the Holy Ghost. You need a touch of Jesus. Hallelujah. It was real simple, church. All you got to do is surrender all to the Lord. And say, Lord, here I am. Take over my life. Take over my mind. Take over my heart. I know what that is. But I truly believe that when you surrender all to the Lord, church, man, God begins to change you. And it says that this man, I'm not going to say God because it was the enemy, used him in such a powerful way. And he would say that, you know, there was no one like him, claiming that he was someone. Notice, because that's what people do. Notice Simon, he was claiming that he was someone great. And the Bible clearly says that from the least, hear me, church, from the least to the greatest, they would listen to him. This man, Simon, who did sorcery, who did witchcraft. That's why I always say, even children, kids, be careful what they listen to, what they hear, what they see, because they will get attached to it.
Amen.
And the people, because of what they would see, they would say such things as, there is such great power. They would say great power of God, but that wasn't the power of God. And the Bible says in verse 11 that they would listen to him for a long time. Did you get that? They were listening to someone who did sorcery, who did witchcraft. They were listening to him for a long time. But then people, you know, they complain about a 40-minute preaching. But the Bible says, Philip, what did he do? He began to preach. Listen, church. Philip, the Bible says he began to preach. He started preaching about the kingdom of God. And look what the Bible says. He started preaching about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. See, church. Doesn't matter what people are doing. We're going to continue to preach about the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that many, many got saved and many got water baptized. Some of you have not been water baptized yet. And you've been walking with the Lord for a long time. It says both men and women were baptized. But why? Why were they being water baptized? Because Philip, even though there was a man, Simon, thinking he was all that. And I'm going to stop right here. But that man, Simon, he believed. What did he believe? What Philip was preaching. What was Philip preaching about? The kingdom of God and preaching about Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the people got saved and they got water baptized. And the Bible also says that Simon, who did sorcery, also got saved. Let me tell you something. No one is bigger and stronger and greater than Jesus Christ. No one. There is no other God like our God. Our God is not dead. The God that we serve, the Bible says that he lives and reigns forevermore. And you got to believe that, church. That if the Lord be for us, who will be against us? Please stand this morning, church.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.